Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
So we're still in our message series, Spirit of Burning. Who's been burning during this series? There has been a fire in all of our meetings, amen? There has been a fire. If you've got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Leviticus chapter 6. I'm going to recap something from last week. Wow. If you're visiting with us today, we just want to thank you for coming. This may be different, but you know, so's heaven. Who's ready for different? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who got a word during our open heaven prayer time when we asked the Father that stuff? Who got something for themselves? I did. Anybody in the front? How about raise a hand so I know you got. Look at that. People hearing God. Watch out. Write that stuff down. He told me he's his favorite, so if he told you something similar, he lied. Or maybe you just didn't hear him correctly. Leviticus chapter 6. You know, I'll watch maybe sometimes more TV than I ought to. My wife and I, it's funny, we each think the other person watches too much television, because basically my wife watches stuff that's not interesting, and she finds that I watch stuff that's not interesting. I'm not sure what's wrong with her. Pray for her. But you know, I pretty much like anything where they're cutting stuff down or building stuff or catching stuff. You know what I mean? Two guys in the woods making fires and killing things. I think that's good TV right there. I think that's pretty good television right there. I don't like, who cares what you're going to wear the day you get married? I really don't understand. Like if I want to watch shopping, I'll go to the mall with my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why I would possibly turn on a television to watch that. I don't get it. You know, like, if I want to be bored, I'll just go shopping with you. You know, like, I don't. But men watch superior shows, obviously. And, you know, some of my favorite, like I said, are those survival shows where there's, like, people in the woods, and they're like, we have to build fire and purify water or we die. Now, how many of you know they're not going to die? How many of you know there's a whole camera crew there with them, and one of them has a sandwich? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? There's probably, like, an RV behind them. You know, with a satellite dish and a shower, you know, like, oh, we got to get some water, we're going to die. Or we have to go in the RV. You know, it's like, I understand it's television. And I also understand that the dress shopping shows are probably equally fake. I hate to break it to you. It's probably not real. I don't know if you know this or not. But I like how these guys, they'll just get some. Have you ever tried to start a fire with two sticks? Have you ever in your life tried to do that? No guy will admit it, but men have tried. And all you got was sore hands, right? You try to do the little thing, and sticks are breaking, shards are going into your eye. You know, nothing's happening. Successful, right? But if you notice, when they start these fires, and if, ladies, you don't watch this, I can't pray you into good television. I don't know what to do. But what they do is they like use friction or a magnifying glass or something to create heat, right? And instead of, trying to make that heat on a big log, they got to get some really, really tender stuff that catches on fire really easy, right? And it catches on fire easy. And the thing about stuff that catches on fire easy is it burns out quick. So they got to get a bunch of it. They get a big fire, and they got to put it near other sticks to catch other sticks on fire, and they put progressively larger sticks on. You see, everybody wants to be this big burning ember. But you don't start off as a big burning ember. You see, that little fire stuff, it burns out quick, and it won't keep you warm through the night. I mean, it may cause a burn that marks you, but it won't keep you warm through the night. You can't put that next to your tent and keep your tent warm with that, because it's going to burn out. What you need is a big log burning in the midnight hour to keep you warm. And how many know if you want to get that big log burning, you got to start early? Those things don't catch on fire right away. It takes a little while. And you gotta tend to fires, what they call it. You gotta continually be putting on larger sticks, get the coals nice and hot, so that when you put that big log on there, it begins to burn. And you know what? You can't just cut down a tree and catch it on fire, because it's filled with water. Hear this. It's filled with stuff that keeps it from burning. So it takes a while to get it dried enough so that it can catch on fire. Are you with me here? Well, God uses this whole premise as he talks to the Levitical priest here in Leviticus chapter 6. He says to them, listen, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. We're at Leviticus 6:12. Shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offering on it. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It shall not go out. And we know through study that God commanded them to keep this fire burning. He told them, what's really interesting is he told them to keep the fire burning before they even had fire. They're like, keep the fire burning. Like, well, we don't even have fire. How many of you, God has told you to do something long term that you're not even doing a little bit right now? Like, you might be called to the realm of business, and God is talking to you about money management, and you don't have any money to manage. Has that happened to anybody? I was having a meeting with a man I consider to be, you know, a bishop or an apostle right now, and he's talking about managing certain things, and I'm like, that's really easy right now because I don't have any of that in my life, you know, so it's not really difficult. It's like, I said to him, it's like saying, how many times do I want to dunk the basketball this month? Doesn't matter. I can't dunk a basketball. And so God, in your seasons, he'll visit you and tell you about how often or how to manage this great call that's on your life when you haven't done any of it yet. Has anybody experienced that? I'm like, what do we? I remember. I was saved probably maybe 6 months, and in the church service we had a visiting minister, and I'm just sitting there, just being happy Christian Carl, you know, just happy to be saved. You know, probably wouldn't even save 6 months yet. I'm sitting there. We had a visiting minister, and this visiting minister is going through all this product that he brought to sell. And you know, when people are itinerants, when they travel, part of their income comes off the offering, and part of their income comes off the stuff they sell. It is what it is, you know. So they'll bring junk to sell and make money, you know, whatever. I'm not mad at you. You know, you got to pay bills. People got kids at home that need to eat, whatever. And so, you know, I have this teaching on this, and it's whatever, and I have this book, and it's whatever, and you really want to get this. And I was sitting about, I don't know, about the fifth row. Nah, that's not true. I was probably on the first row. And the Lord said to me, I never did not sit on the first row. We always sat on the front, unless they didn't let you sit on the front row. And then I'm on the second row. Anyway, so I remember sitting there, and I've been saved a couple months, and these people are offering stuff, and the Lord said to me, I don't want you to ever do that. I'm like, do what? I'm just sitting here. Ain't nobody asking me to sell anything. What are you talking about? I don't ever want you to do that. I'm like, no problem now. You know, I'm not. That should be easy to fulfill, considering I'm not speaking anywhere. Fast forward a couple years, and I have the opportunity to do that, and he's clearly instructed me not to. And so God will begin to tell you about things that are coming in your life, and you might think that he's mistaken, when you really need to hear these words, because these are like little breadcrumbs God gives you on the path you're to be going on. Thank you. That's a good word right there, man. That's a good word right there. God will speak things to you. So here he is talking to the priests about how to keep the fire burning when they didn't even have fire. Right? Because we know that God sends fire later on. He sends his holy fire to ignite the fire on the altar. And then he tells them, you have to keep it burning. Then all these words start making sense. That's what forth-telling prophecy is. You get a word about something in a season you're not even in yet, and you got to keep that thing close by for the season that it comes up. You're like, ah, I was given instructions about this place. Kind of like holy deja vu. Like, I feel like I've been here before. feel like I've been here before, and the Lord gave me a word about this season. I think that's a good word right there. So I got here in your little handout, God lights the fire, but it's our job to keep the fire burning. You see, God will light a little spark on the inside of you. Maybe it happens at the altar. Maybe it happened at salvation. Maybe it happened when someone gave you a word of encouragement. Maybe you went to a certain conference and somebody spoke something over you. And I would believe very little of what you heard spoken over you in a conference, if that's just me. But can I give you some just some fatherly advice here, some fatherly Pentecostal advice? I don't know how many of you go to conferences. I don't know how many of you visit itinerant ministries. I'm all for them. But if they have to advertise the meeting with exclamation points in all caps, it's probably not as great as they're making it out to be, or they wouldn't need all caps and exclamation points. Just going to put that out there. If the word awakening is anywhere in there, or outpouring, good chance there's neither an awakening nor an outpouring happening. God does not require hype. Just doesn't need it. And when you, sons and daughters, go into ministry, don't do that. God doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. Azusa Street changed Christianity, and it was held in a former barn by a bunch of people who couldn't even read. They don't need your hype. All right. See, the problem is, I'm just speaking to you, feel like you're called to carry this fire. The problem is, if you start the fire with hype, you have to keep it burning. And that is a burden you don't want to bear. If you hype up a meeting, and you get people all excited about it, man, you do that for a couple weeks in a row, what are you going to do after 6 weeks? What do you have left? You know what you do? You start lying about what's happening. Oh, it was an open heaven visitation awakening of mantles. Like, you just find all the Pentecostal words you can come up with. Mantles are going to be given out this. Mantles. Because you don't really have any way to quantify that. And so you just start making stuff up. Because if it's less anointed than last week, because of all your explanation points and caps, you're somehow a failure. Just don't do it. Just don't do it, people. Just allow Jesus to minister to people, and you just be anointed. I remember Mark Boykin at Church of All Nations. He used to say, if you're anointed, you don't have to tell people. They'll know. You don't have to tell people. They'll know. You with me on that? You don't got to tell people. You got to tell me you're probably not anointed. Don't tell me about your miracle ministry. Your miracles would tell me. You getting anything out of this? I'm just giving you some fatherly advice right now. Just run with that. Or reject it and do a ministry of works, if that's what you want. I don't suggest it, though. So, and what we need to do is, he lights this spark on the inside of us, and then we wonder how long this is going to last. It's like, oh, I hope that this burning... Have you ever been touched by God and you just really hoped it didn't wear off? Like, I hope this doesn't go away. Please don't let this go away. God, I got a touch from you this morning. I hope it doesn't go away. And then a couple weeks later, the thing that you're dealing with, it starts to, ooh, I felt that. I didn't feel that for a week, and now I felt it. Ah, month or two later, oh, now I'm thinking about it. I guess it went away. It doesn't go away. See, it got lit on that little easily burning stuff. That's the tinder. That's the stuff that burns really easily, like your disappointment. Your disappointment is an easy thing for God to light on fire. Your depression is easy for God to light on fire. See, but what happens when that gets burnt up? You better have something else for it to burn. You got to have something else you got to put on there. And so you start putting stuff on there. Okay, I got my depression on there. Well, now what do you want, God? He's like, well, how about some of your plans? How about we throw some of that on there? How about some of your habits? How about some of your friendships? How about some of your attitudes? You got to give him something to burn. And then you let that burn for a while. You're like, well, I've given all that to you. He's like, okay, now how about some of your promises? How about your ministry? See, you got to let the tinder and the kindling burn and dry out all the wet stuff. You're like, this is a big tree in my life right here. He's like, good, chop it down and put it next to the fire and let it dry out so I can put it on the fire and burn that up too. You're like, but you gave me that. He's like, yeah, it's going to burn real good. You don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, have you ever cried out to God and said, God, you told me to do this and it's not working. You told me I was going to be a businessman. You told me I was going to be a ministry. You told me I was going to be married. You said we're going to have kids. You said, and why haven't you done it yet? Anybody pray anything like that ever? Anybody ever pray those prayers of I'm disappointed in God prayers? Any of those? Yeah, he wants you to throw that on the fire. That's why. He's like, I've given you some. And he's so awesome. He's giving you new things to die to. I've run out of all my sin to die to, God. Oh, great. Why don't you start dying to some of the stuff I told you to do? Like, where is that biblical? Let's just talk about a little dude named Isaac. Why don't you just go ahead and throw him off the... Or we'll talk about a guy named Jesus. Who the Father literally put on the altar and allowed to be killed. You got to give him new stuff to burn up. And the easiest way to keep that fire going... As we continue to put new stuff on the altar, if we want to continue with the spirit of burning, we need to continue contact with, it's in your notes, the burning one. I want to stay in contact with the burning one. Jesus is the burning one. His eyes are like fire. You can't come into contact with Jesus without him letting you know new things that you can go ahead and throw on the altar. That's why when you're around him and the presence is so great, we talked about this the other day, God, I'll fast for a week, a month, 45 days, I'll be even better than Jesus in my fasting. God, whatever you want, you can have my future. You can have my problem, my hope. You know when you're in that bubble, that glory bubble, and you're encountering him, and you're seeing the third heaven, and you're seeing promises, and stuff is being poured out on you. You're like, just take whatever you want. I'm not disappointed at all that none of this has come to pass. You can have it all. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's what happens when you get in contact with the burning one. That's why you can tell people who aren't in contact with the burning one. They drip with pride. When you get around the burning one, there's just no pride in you. There's just no room for pride around the burning one. It gets burnt up really easy. This self-confidence, this I'm the man, this delusion that we can walk in. You get around the burning one and that stuff goes up in fire fast. Got to get around the burning one. Have you seen him? Are you burning? Are you on fire? Have you been baptized in fire like he promised? But when you get around the burning one and the fire begins to consume and you're like, God, my fire is burning out a little bit. I need to throw some fresh stuff on the fire. I can't even think of what to burn up. You get around God and he's like, hey, why don't you just remember that thing you're saving for? Why don't you just give that offering? Like, but I'm saving for something. You get around the burning one, it's yours. Hallelujah. Burning ones are givers. Burning ones are generous. There's a spirit of generosity on them because they know that Jesus provides. They don't feel like they have to hoard. There isn't fear of lack when you're a burning one because you're around the one who pays the bills. If you're not a burning one, then you know, the church, all they talk about is money. No, that's what you talk about. That's not what the church talks about. We understand where your fears are. But we need to continue making contact with the burning one. In Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist spoke about him. He says, I baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the promise of God that he'll baptize you in fire. And when you're dunked in that fire, you get refined. I got three quick things we're going to talk about, and then I'm going to let you go. But there's a baptism of fire happening right now. Yeah. I got three real quick things that I want to ignite faith in you. But here, listen. I'm all about Christian disciplines. I like them. I think they're good. But if you don't do them in faith, they become religion. I see a lot of people who walk around with a pure heart toward God, but they have a religious yoke on them. And some man or woman of God told them, if you do these things, you will be righteous. And God is after your heart. And you can do all the things in the world and still not be righteous. It doesn't make you more righteous. But there are Christian disciplines you need to get involved in to codify into your life so that you have habits of discipline, habits of righteousness that get to permeate your soul. Does that make sense? I'm going to talk about some of those disciplines now, but I want to challenge you to do them in faith in a way that will continue to ignite the fire on the inside of you. Are we together on this? I'm going to talk about three things, but you have to do them in faith. All right? And this is what you have to do. Anytime Jesus tells you to do something, you got to look at it as an open door to more of Him. Every act of obedience to God brings a blessing from Him. I'm going to say that again. Every act of obedience to God brings a blessing from Him. Every act of obedience brings a blessing. It may not be tangible. It may not be right now, but I want you to hear this. You know, Felipe, his profile picture as him standing on this glass thing at that tall building. I think it used to be the Sears Tower. I don't know if it still is in Chicago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In the Sears Tower in Chicago, there was this thing you can walk out to near the top, and the floor is glass. And so you're literally looking down over the city beneath you. And I don't know if you've seen in the news this week that they had to close that because there developed some cracks in the glass. Now, how many of you want to stand on broken glass 100 stories in the air? No. Remember that. So often, we feel like either you have breakthrough or you have nothing. But listen, when you obey God in an area that you have bondage, you begin to crack the glass. Now, sometimes it takes more than one swing of the hammer to break through stuff. Now, is that glass still strong? Who knows? But the crack shows me I'm not standing on it. Now, when you act in obedience in an area that God challenged you in, that might be the blow that sends the crack into it. And you continue to be obedient, there's still people standing on it. Surely somebody was standing on that glass when they noticed the crack. Like, that's interesting. I wonder if this makes this unsafe. Oh, I'm not going to, that's unsafe. But who knows how many cracks it's going to take for it to break through. As you obey God, it's another. Let's see, I don't have that breakthrough in finances right now, but every time I tithe, it's another swing of the hammer. I feel drawn to, visit that person at 2:00 in the morning. But every time I say no and I yield to the Spirit instead of my flesh, that bondage is being broken in my life. Every time I turn off the computer and don't look at that stuff, even though the little voice says, go ahead and look at it, it's another swing of the hammer. Every time someone gossips to me and I just smile and I walk away, it's another swing of the hammer of that thing being broken in my life. Okay, I still feel like it's there, though. I know it's there, but broken. And it wants to let you know, come on, come on, come on, it's still safe, come on. And you say, no. God's been talking to me a lot. And I'm still processing some things, and I don't like to preach on them until I process them. But I want to give you this: your heart is an incubator, and God births things in the natural in your heart. And what you allow to grow in your heart will eventually manifest in your life. And that's why the Word tells us about watching what we say, what we meditate on, because our words become our world, right? And so God wants you to do things in faith. He wants you to do things in faith. That this is working on your behalf. You getting this? All right, so the first thing I want to encourage you, and this is nothing new, but I want you to look at it from a new perspective. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 2 for me. You know this story. It's widely believed to be Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana. Y'all there? Yeah? John chapter 2. We're going to start back there at the tech table. We're going to start at verse 6. All right? If you're new to the Bible, there was a wedding that Jesus was invited to, which tells me Jesus was probably fun. Which is just a revelation to some Christians. That right there is enough to change your life. People wanted him around. And they were serving wine. It says wine. Doesn't say grape juice. Now, it's important to understand that Jewish wine, like Manischewitz, is slightly alcoholic. It's not like, you know, you get your modern cab and it's, you know, 40% alcohol or 40 proof, excuse me, not 40%, but 40 proof, and you get fairly tore down on it. This is you'd have to drink a lot of this kind of, I mean, like a lot of this wine to, you know, to get drunk. So it's true he was drinking fermented drink. It would be very difficult to get drunk though. Are we on the same page there?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to put that out there. Okay, so they ran out of wine. And Jesus' mom calls him and says, hey, they ran out of wine. And Jesus says, why are you bothering me? It's not my time yet. Now, he's prophesying the new wine that is to come. But, you know, because everything he did was prophetic. But let's catch up the story here at verse 6, right? Excuse me, verse 5, he said, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, that's a good word right there. People come to me and say, well, Jesus told me to do this. What do you think? Well, that's the end of the conversation as far as I'm concerned. If you want me to help you discern whether or not that was God or you, I can be in that conversation. But don't come to me and say, God said do this. What do you say? Well, you've given me very little wiggle room there. Verse 6. Okay, here we go. I have 15 things I want to say about that, but I'm not going to. Now, there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Now, here's what I want you to see, how to keep your fire burning. Now, we know Scripture talks about washing our minds in the water of the Word of God. Now, if you're not reading your Bible every day, start. Go to YouVersion.com or Bible.com, I believe it is now. They own the app. Get a Bible reading plan and start reading the Bible. I don't care if you do a one chapter a day. If you read one chapter a day for a year, you read the whole New Testament. You read about 10 minutes a day, you can read the whole Bible. Just not that complicated. Get the Word of God on the inside of you. Now, you need to do it as a discipline, but you need to do it because it's going to do something on the inside of you. And let me show you in this little parable here what could possibly happen, okay? Let's look at the symbolism in this parable. You there? You right? You good? We're on the same page here? Good. Okay. Now, Jesus tells them to get the water pots, right? How many were there? 6 is the number of? 6 is the number of man. Fill the water pots with water. Water being the word. Remember, Jesus said that he is the potter. The Father's the potter. We are the clay. There are these water pots. Fill the water pots with the water, right? And so as we read the Bible, as we get this word on the inside of us, now not as a religious act, but as we lean into it, what you want to do is you want to get your Bible, you want to open it up, and you want to look at it, and don't say, okay, God, what do you want me to read today? All right, today it's 1 Peter 2.
What's today, Jesus?
Psalm 27. Woe unto you, and you know. Read whole books. Start somewhere and just read to the right till you get to the end. You know what I mean? Just like read stuff. I like to read the Gospels over and over and over again. I like to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus did some things when he's on the earth. I want them on the inside of me. I'll read the book of Acts over and over and over and over again. I remember there was a season, all I did was read the book of Acts. I was just like, I'm just going to read it until I got it 20 times in a row. I'm just going to keep reading the book of Acts because I just wanted God to do something in me. I'll read certain books over and over and over again. And the more you read these things, the more you start to see the big picture of what God is doing. You kind of back up from the individual line to the whole story of what's happening. And then you start reading in 1 Corinthians 13, you're like, oh, he's talking about what he was talking about in 1 Corinthians 11. Now I understand. Now you see the story of it, right? You with me? And so as you lean into it and you open the Bible, get to your scripture you're at that day, you say, Lord, speak to me. Talk to me. Listen, he is the Word, right? If he's the Word, that means he has something to say. He's not out of words. He is the Word. He has something to say. He has words for you. I feel like there's a block on that one. Listen, he is the Word sent to man. Send your word to me as I'm reading this. Listen for him talking to you. Sometimes you'll read the Bible, and you'll read something like, where was I? And you read again. What did I just read? Yeah. You read it again. God, what? You got to look and say, okay, God's trying to talk to me in this little passage. That's why the Holy Spirit keeps telling me to read it over and over and over and over again. And then finally, when you figure it out, like, oh, wow, you must have something for me in here. Yeah. Speak to me, Lord. Yeah. When you read your Bible, have some paper and a pen nearby. Have a journal that you use during your study time, during your meditation. Take notes. What is God talking to you about? You know, just put the date. This is what I'm reading, 1 Corinthians 12, and start, oh, wow, look at this. I mean, when I have leader meetings, when I have director's meetings, we send out, and I send the same thing every single time. Come to the meeting, and don't forget, bring paper and a pen. No, don't take notes on your phone. Studies have shown that when you take notes with a paper and pen, you take better notes than on a phone, on any electronic device. It's proven. It's proven by educated people. It's proven. It's fact. Like, well, I take better notes with my thumb. No, you don't. You just don't. It's impossible for you to be doing this and pay attention to me, but you can do this and pay attention. Because we write. That's what we do. When I meet with you, when you come to meet, this is my own personal deal here, all right? When you ask me, Pastor, can we have a meeting? And I say, yes, I'm going to give you an hour of my time. At least act like you respect that enough that you're going to actually write down something I say and take it home with you. I'm going to come meet with you, and at the end of this, I'm just going to, you know, go about my life. Well, let's just act like we met and I not waste an hour. Bring a pen, bring a piece of paper, take some notes. If you don't think it's that important, let's just not meet. No, but I really need to meet with you. Okay. Who, for me or for you? For you. All right, well, take some notes and take them with you. That's fair, right? So I tell my leaders at our leaders meeting, I expect you to take notes because when we finish this meeting, I'm not going to be the one with the task list. We're not coming with you tasking me. This is kind of simple, right? So when we come to meet with God, how about we go there believing he's going to talk to us and give us something? And we're going to need to write it down. Now, if you're going to meet with me, who is far below God, right? I don't presume that I'm near God's level at all in revelation, in gifting, in leadership, in holiness. But when you meet with me, I'm expecting you to take notes. When I meet with God, I wonder what he's expecting. He's pretty clear on how detailed he wants his words written down, right? And so you got to believe, okay, I'm meeting with God. Now, God, I'm meeting with you here. Here, look, I'm prepared. Look, this is a professional meeting for me, God. I'm at the table. I've set apart the next, you know, half hour, 40 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you got. I got my Bible. I got a pen. I got a piece of paper. I'm reading. I'm ready for you to talk to me. Now, if you want, you can say, well, it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night. I haven't read any Bible yet. Let me run through this chapter here. Okay, woo, did my religious duty. I can go home now. Woo-hoo, I'm good with God. I read my Bible. Well, that's all your reward, like right there. That's it. That's your reward. That's it. That's all you get. You get the satisfaction that you read the Bible. Hope that's enjoyable. Not sure how much wood that's putting on the fire. But I want to encounter the burning one. I want to encounter the burning one. And if I'm going to encounter the burning one, I better believe he's going to give me something to burn. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to meditate on it. So I got my little journal. Here, I got mine right here. Here's what I got. If you see me carrying this, I always have in it my Bible, my journal, and a good pen. Got my Bible, got my journal, got a good pen. Crack open my journal. Start taking some notes. And so I'll start writing, and I'll be studying, and I'll write a little bit, and I'll read, and I'll read, and I'll read, and I'll take some notes, and then God will start talking to me. And I'll start writing. And sometimes I just write, and I'm just prophesying to myself in my notes. And I'll look at it, and I'll be like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I'll just write to God. I'm dealing with something in this, Lord. I'm dealing with this, dealing with that. And at the end of my writing, I've encountered Jesus. I've encountered the burning one. And I see things from his perspective. And sometimes I forget what he said about things. So I have kind of a complicated system, but I keep everything. I keep all the stuff he talks to me about. I put it in a place that I save it with emails, prophetic emails I get and all that stuff. And then I'll go back and I'll meditate on it. I'll read it. When I get to the States, I'm like, I don't know what you're doing right now, God. I feel a little dry. I don't feel like I have any new wood on my fire. And I'll go back. Oh, wow, I haven't even burned that up yet. Let me just meditate on that encounter. Let me meditate on that time he touched me. I'm back right there because the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So I go reading those things that he spoke to me, and I just begin to burn again because it's just like it happens again. Are you with me here? This takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little faith. You have to lean into your encounter with God. If you're waiting for him to come from heaven and touch you in this, I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want it all the time, but it's just not realistic. It's not realistic to think that every single day God's going to descend from heaven, appear to me in his physical form, let me put my finger in the hole in his hand, and they'll walk on the water with him. That's just not how it works. Why? It doesn't take faith. It doesn't take faith. He did it for Thomas, but he said, listen, that's not faith. He wants us to walk in faith. And so I have to continue to lean into what he's doing. God, I am just believing right now. Did he tell me to bring a pen? No, he didn't tell me to bring a pen. Did he tell me to bring a journal? No, he didn't tell me to bring a journal. Why are you doing it? Are you saying God is going to speak to you? Are you telling him to talk? That's stupid. If I go on a date with my wife, I'm not telling her to have a good time with me. I'm expecting it because that's who she is in my life. And since he is the Word, that means he's got a couple for me. And so I'm leaning into this. I'm expecting you. My ear is inclined to hear you, Father. So you get this word, and let's just go back to our scripture here. We're in verse 6. He says, I'm feeling good right now. Verse 7, he says, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. Anybody got an NIV on them? Anybody reading the NIV right now? Who's reading the NIV? Who has the Nearly Inspired version out right now? Anybody? Or are you all just better, more studious? Read here for me on John chapter 2, verse 8. My boy's got one. My boy carries a Bible with him everywhere he goes. He's just getting filled with the Word. Go ahead and read John chapter 2, verse 8.
Then he told them.
You don't got to yell.
Sorry.
It's electrified. You don't have to yell.
Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.
The master of the banquet. Now, I like head waiter, but I like master of the banquet better. The master of the banquet. Now, at the end of time, where are we going to be? We're going to be at a wedding banquet, yes? Now, at any good wedding that, you know, when everything worked out properly and families are healthy, not that I grew up in one of these, not that it was my testimony, but the way it's supposed to happen is when a man and woman get married, the bride's family throws the wedding. Right? And they should pay for it. If you don't, you know, no condemnation. But the master of the wedding would be the father of the bride. You with me? And at the end of the age, we're going to be at a wedding ceremony. The bridegroom being Jesus, the father of the bride, We are the bride. The father of the bride will be seeing over the entire thing. The father being our father. You with me here, right? Okay, so the father, excuse me, the master of the ceremony, he says, and take it to him, this head waiter, or the master of the ceremony. So they took it to him, right? When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from. Listen to this. When this water is in you, it's good and all that, right? It's really good. But it's not anointed till it comes out of you. When it comes out of you, it becomes the new wine. Let me put it another way. Reading the Bible is good. Understanding the Bible is better. Let the Bible transform who you are so that when you come into situations, you don't react out of the old man. You react out of the Word of God living on the inside of you. And when it comes out of you, it's no longer you. It is the living water. This living water is the new wine of the Holy Ghost. See, when the Word mixes with faith, it becomes the anointing. And now my words are no longer just my words. Sometimes I share things with people who don't know Jesus. And I tell them things. They're like, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, well, you know, Paul said that, not me. But, you know, it's living water for you. You ever just share some basic Bible with people who don't know God? Who don't have that living one on the inside of them? And you're like, here, just drink from my well for a second. It's living. If you drink from this, you'll have life. Because when it's not anointed, so you draw it out of you and you serve it. What did you get from God? You need to be giving it away because that is anointed. You get revelation on Sunday morning service, you need to be giving that out because that is anointed. That's that living water that God's on right now. You with me on this? So it's when they drew this water out that it became living water, and people were kind of astounded that they were giving away the better wine at the end because they figured, you know, when you get folks drunk, then you bring out the nasty stuff. They won't know. They just care about getting more drunk. But here you are, you got the good stuff at the end. We have the good stuff. This talks about the better covenant that we have. There was a covenant with the Jews. We have a better covenant now. I think that's good news right there. So this water becomes wood to be consumed by God. It gives us more to lay at his feet. You with me here? I think this is good stuff. So number one was the word. Number two, and I'm going to quickly go through these last two. Here's what I want you to do. On these next two, while I'm talking, I want you to lean in and drink. Are you with me? Here, Kevin, bring this down here. I think I just need to be closer. That's not it. That's it. Thank you. Can you put that together for me? You ready? Number two, you ready? Thanks, Kevin. You rock, man. Number two, you ready? Are you leaning in? Ah. Look at your neighbors. They take a drink. Come on, second row. I'm expecting something to be happening right there. There it is. Number two is prayer. Let me challenge you on your prayer life a little bit, shall I? There should be a discipline to your prayer life, but there also should be some faith. The discipline I want to challenge you with is just putting together prayer lists that you pray over. You know, if you we got a wave of people trying to be less fat in this house. And so we got a lot of people going to the gym. And those of you who work out, you know, every time you go to a new machine, you don't want to try to guess at what weight you're lifting. Was I doing 60 or 135? I don't remember. So what do you do about that? You track it. So you know, okay, oh yeah, that's where I'm at on this. So I can start off running, right? Your prayer lists are the same way. You want to be tracking what you're praying and what God is speaking to you about. Be updating them. And your list can be small, you know, or it could be very elaborate. You know, I go through both, depending on the season. But I have both. And you want to be tracking what you're praying for people, and you want to be watching for answers. So you just want to pray them every day. Pray, you can update them, but pray your prayer list religiously, if I can even use that word. Because there is a good religion that Jesus talked about. At the same time, during your prayer, excuse me, I'm kind of fighting a cold. At the same time, I expect to be talking to one who can hear me. I'm leaning into the burning one. I'm talking to a living God as I'm talking. And sometimes he corrects me. And that's good. You want God to correct you during your prayer time so you can pray more efficiently. I want to be praying in faith. I don't pray just to put my words out there in the air. If I'm ever praying and I feel like I'm alone, I just pray in tongues until I feel like I'm connected to God. You hear what I'm saying? If you feel like I'm just praying, no, start praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost until you get some words. And then start praying in your natural language. But I'm praying expecting to lean into the burning one while I'm praying. I'm expecting to get close to him who lights the fire on the inside of me. Again, Mark 1:8 says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm expecting this fire in my prayer time. I'm expecting that my prayer time is not just me saying words, but me connecting with the burning one. You with me? I'm burning right now talking about this. I'm burning more all the time. And I'm enjoying it. And number three, number two was prayer. Number three, we're going to finish with this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How you doing, Marco? Are you burning? Are you playing guitar a lot still? Don't stop. There's a burning on that. See, God is calling. There's a burning on that right there. Not just see you. I think I got this word for you when I first met you. I just see you playing guitar in a room, and I see just sparks falling. Yeah, keep it burning. Not too much to overdrive, though. All right, number three. Corey knows what I'm talking about. Number three is fellowship, and this takes more faith than all of them. This takes more faith than all of them. Jesus said in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Sometimes it's very hard to recognize God in the midst of your friends. Let me ask you this. I've been praying a lot recently, and God's really challenged me in some significant areas of my life. I really value friends that I can say, that can help me process what God is saying to me. Not talking about just, you know, TV shows, that's great, and, you know, sports. I got to be honest with you. Most sports conversation is lower level conversation. It just is. I hate to say it, but it just is. It's not real conversation. And I'm a sports fan. But people who specialize in sports conversations specialize in not talking about real stuff. It's just not real. It's like, it's, you know, women have the same things. They talk about fashion or whatever. It's just, it's avoiding real conversation. And so if all your conversations go towards sports, sports is like sanctified gossip. Sports is like sanctified drama, soap operas. You know, men make fun of women for watching soap operas, and that's all sports is. You talk about athletes like you're allowed to gossip about them because they play on a sports team. He's not that great, and he would, you know, you're sanctified gossip. It scratches an itch in you to tear somebody down, and because they're an athlete, it makes it okay. It's not okay. So try to talk about sports without sinning against people. See how much fun sports is. I'm just going to put that out there. Just put that out there. But it's okay. They signed up for it. I doubt that. I doubt that. And just because somebody wants to be sinned against, is it okay to sin against them? Probably not, right? Anyway, so fellowship where conversations are real. where I get around people and I'm waiting for God to talk. Sometimes I get around people that I really like and they have stupid conversation. I'm so disappointed. I'm like, I feel like I just wasted my afternoon and my evening. Like, this could have been special. And instead, it devolved into drama and stupidity. Just going to be honest with you. It's like, oh, why don't you hang out a lot? Because I don't like what you all talk about. I don't feel edified at the end of it. I don't want to argue with you. That's not fun to me. But. When two or three are gathered, Jesus could be right there in the midst. I like to get around people and say, what's God speaking to you? What are you hearing? Because we only have one part of the story, right? We only have part of the story, and I want the part that you got. A puzzle piece on its own does not make a picture. I want to know your part of the picture. I want to feed off of it. I want to know what revelation you're getting, and I want to know what understanding you're getting, and I want to know what faith you're getting, and I want to know what compassion you're getting, and I want to put it all together. I want to see the complete picture of Jesus. This is what I want. Now, churches specialize in one stream, and it makes us feel very good about our one stream, but I want the whole river. I want all the streams that make glad the river of God. I want them all. I want all four winds. I don't want one wind. I don't want to specialize one wind. I want all four. I want it all. I want all the creatures. I want all the elders. I want all the angels. I want it all. And when I'm around you, I want the gift of God that's on the inside of you. And I don't want to have to battle past the junk that you're not battling. Hallelujah. Come on up, Mike. And so I'm going to do a quick prayer. And I want to challenge you today. And amen. You get anything out of this? And I'm going to pray for about, please don't go anywhere, 3 minutes, and then I'm going to be done. 3 minutes. You ready? Stand your feet. Father, come on, pray in faith with me right now as all the gifts are represented right here in this room. And the master of the ceremony is here right now. Father, would you send the burning one? Would you send the burning one right now, Jesus? The burning one, Father. Now, the Bible says, I wish the men everywhere would be lifting holy hands. So here on Father's Day, men, just lift holy hands to Jesus right now. Ladies, you can join in. Lift your hands and say, I want the burning one. I want the burning one in my word time. I want the burning one in my prayer time. I want the burning one in my fellowship time. And I'm going to ask right now that the burning one come down and touch hearts right now. That he would come down and touch hearts right now. That the burning one would come right now. And he would light hearts on fire. And he would show you wood to throw on the fire, to keep the fire burning. Whoa. Ha. 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 That you would light a fire on the inside of us, Jesus, in the next 2 minutes. Light the fire on the inside of us, Jesus. You are the burning one. And we want to burn for you. And we want to burn for you, Jesus. And we want to burn for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.